everyone. Thank you so much for tuning into Advertising Week's Great Minds, People and Culture podcast. I'm your host, Brenna Kinsey, Executive Vice President of Advertising Week and Emerald. On today's podcast, we have Evan Shepp, the first employee and first female partner at 72 and Sunny. Promoted to CEO in 2020, Evan has led the company from a small team of four in LA to a global presence with over 700 employees. Evan's innovative leadership has resulted in the creation of several pioneering practices and companies, including 72U, Petro Studios, Brand Citizens, and Sunday. As 72 and Sunny celebrates its 20th anniversary, we are thrilled to have Evan as our guest on the podcast. She's going to walk us through her remarkable journey. Hi, Evan.
Hi, Ren. How are you?
Good. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you.
Thank you for being here. I know that 72 Sunny is celebrating an important milestone in June. Can you start us off with sharing what that milestone is and why it's important to you all?
Yes, it is our 20th year. So we are celebrating our 20th anniversary, which is pretty crazy when you figure not many agencies make it this far, let alone what we've been fortunate enough to accomplish during that time. And for us, it's a chance to look back, but even more so, be excited and celebrate the people that are with us today and where we're headed in the future.
Amazing. Congratulations. You have been with 72 for the past 17 plus years. Could you walk us through the pivotal moments that led you from your role as a brand director to now becoming the CEO of this amazing creative agency?
Sure. I mean, I'll do an abridged version. I was fortunate to start with the four founders as the first, as I say, paid employee. They weren't even paying themselves at the time, and to have access to learn from them. And, you know, I think it became very clear to me. I always tell the story to new employees. On day one, I showed up and I was texted a code to enter the building because they were pitching our first client who became Bugaboo at the time. And I sat down, and from day one, it was like, okay, I can sit here and do nothing, or I can figure out what I want to do with this opportunity. And that has really been how I've viewed my role at 72 and Sunny for 20 years, to be honest. And I think lucky to be a part of a culture that allows you to really create what that looks like. So as a, you know, I started doing anything and everything, grew into what we called a brand person, a brand director, ran our first AOR, which was Activision, and other clients from there, worked on Nike, Adidas, you name it. And, you know, just became, when I saw a problem, how do we solve it? Why is it that way? Instead of getting frustrated that finance was doing something or this isn't working, go talk to the people, figure it out, and share the learnings so that everyone else doesn't have to deal with it. And became a partner to the founders very quickly in problem solving. And that's still what I do today. In a lot of ways is just problem solving for the agency to create opportunities for everyone else of where we want to go and to create the best work for our clients. So that's kind of been my journey. You know, I went from brand director to managing director of the LA office and then became COO, which I was for many years. And in that role, it was really about both solving and scaling at the time and opening our new offices. We opened officially in Amsterdam, in Sydney and in Singapore and our New York office, and then opening and running new entities and figuring out how we innovate and what that looks like. So everything from Brand Citizens to Etcho Studios to Sunday, which was our influencer network.
And how has your leadership approach changed since you've become the CEO of the company?
You know, I don't think it's changed a ton. My approach has always been to bring the right voices to the table to hear what is really going on. I think the danger in leadership is making assumptions versus hearing from people. You're never going to get all the information though. So deciding when it's time to make a call and when you can help others make the right call. Obviously as CEO, there are certain decisions where you are the one that has to make the decision. Hopefully if you're doing it right, it's only the hardest ones that no one else could solve and you're helping steer or fix it or writing, you know, the course for the future. But more and more, it's about just making sure we've got the right people who are asking the right questions to solve the problems themselves. Servant leadership, feel like I've lived that from day one as a teacher when I started in any sort of career, and through to today of how do I show up to support our teams that are working every single day for our clients.
I love that. And reflecting on how the creative industry has changed in the past 20 years, what shifts have you observed? And what do you believe has been the result of these shifts, both in as far as business is concerned and as far as talent is concerned, how you review and develop talent?
Great question. I'd probably narrow it down to three kind of areas. One is there's more diversity in this industry than there was 20 years ago. Thank God. We need it. We don't have enough still to this day. But we need, innovation requires diverse perspectives, and we need to keep pushing for more and more diversity. And I look back at 72 and Sunny 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, we're on a journey. No one's perfect, but we continue to learn and continue to push for it. And I see it across the other agencies. I think in 2012, when our mission was expand and diversify the creative class, there weren't many agencies that were all in, and I love that everyone is all in now and sharing learnings with each other and pushing each other forward. So I think that's really important, and we have to look at it as like we're not there yet. And, we never will be able to fix all of the past. We just have to keep learning and pushing forward. So hopefully that continues, but that's critical to where we are today. I think the second is obviously technology. AI, all of those pieces, how do we evolve? How does that work? What does that mean for each of our roles and positions and the different levels? Again, by no means masters of it, but continuing to innovate in how we work and what that looks like. I think back to early Google work where we would have an editor sourcing UGC and trying to pull it all together, and what that looks like now in terms of creating a quick film to show our ideas and how that's advanced and evolved and the humans required, that keeps changing, which I think is really exciting for our industry. And it takes creativity to input to that. So I don't see it as a threat. I see it as a jumping off point or a turbocharge in a lot of ways. I think the third is just, I think we're seeing more and more people, and this is probably sounds obvious to most people, but working in advertising who understand it's a business. I do think in the old eras, it was half understood the business, half were about the cool ideas at some point. And I think I'm at least fortunate to be surrounded by creative leaders, strategic leaders, production leaders who care about our clients' business and want to talk about that and then figure out how to make the creative leap to drive results. But nothing's better to me than when you're in a room and no one knows who does what from a client perspective or a new client, because the creative leader is just as in depth and involved in their understanding the business as the brand leader. And I think that evolution is changing the mix up then that you need inside your agency in order to drive and service clients. And we're probably in the middle of that still at 72 and Sunny in a lot of ways, but I think it's really exciting.
72 has a reputation for prioritizing talent and their needs. How do you put that prioritization into practice? Why do you think you are still to this day so well placed for new up-and-coming talent to be the destination, the goal place that they end up in?
First of all, I still have to remind myself that people know who we are. I can remember spelling our name for everyone we called, and we very much have a kind of put our heads down and do the work mentality. So that's probably part of it, to be honest. But a lot of it is people first. Ask people what they want. I sit with Emily Venizelos, who is our chief talent officer every year, and I say, well, what are the best, most modern companies doing when it comes to benefits? In the last 4 years, when it comes to remote work and what work looks like, when it comes to mental health, how are we thinking about that? And then what can we do? Where can we be better as a company? Where do we innovate? What can we learn from others is a huge part of it. But I also just think it's making the company the people. The founders very wisely didn't put a name on the door so that this place is yours from the second you arrive, and that platform to make it what you want. Or if you're not happy with something, bring it forward and continue that conversation. And when people talk about our culture, they're talking about our people. And it's the people who opt into building this place every single day. That's really exciting. We're also not precious about protecting the culture. I think that's the worst thing you can do, is try and protect a culture versus let it breathe and move forward. Otherwise, you get stuck in outdated policies, outdated, this is the 72 and sunny way. For me, the only 72 and sunny way is optimism and making the best work. That process, that how we do it, anything else, I call bullshit.
I love that approach, actually, to be flexible about what the culture is and how it can shape in the future. Is that something that you share with employees at all levels when they join, so that they feel like they have an opportunity to help shape that culture for 72 and Sunny?
We do. I mean, a lot of what I just said, there's no names on the door. You're here, whether you've been here for an hour or 20 years, this is your place. We want your voice. We want you here. We want you to take us forward. And it's a lot about, even as we celebrate our anniversary, the 20th might be, we might spend a little more time looking back, but every year we call it 72 and Sunny Day, because we're celebrating the people that are here. We don't spend a lot of time talking about the old days and what that was like, because we can learn from the past, but we really want to push forward. And everyone new who joins makes this place better than it was before.
This is going to be a hard question for you. In the past 20 years, what work that the agency has done stand out to you most? I know it's hard to pick favorites, and you've done amazing work the entire agency has. But are there several that you would like to highlight, especially ones that were a result of cross-functional collaboration and teamwork above and beyond?
Yes, this is hard. We have obviously done a ton of work and, you know, kind of did whatever we needed to do to innovate and survive. And we've done everything from web development. We built Bugaboo's first direct e-com website, which was a huge learning experience. We're clearly not in that business anymore and should not be and will not be. But that is a very vivid moment, because it's what the opportunity was and what the company needed. It was the height of the recession in 2008. And then, you know, I think about the work we've done with clients who have been with us for a really long time. Activision, I believe, is a 14-year partner for us. And we were just talking about the number of Effies that work has won, which is so important to us as like performance junkies, of like delivering the results for clients with major creativity. That's a pretty incredible relationship and output of the work, and a testament to the clients we have who are super ambitious and brave over there. Some who are still there, some who have come in since then, and then others that have become clients elsewhere, like at the NFL with Tim Ellis and Marissa Solis, where we've continued to make really amazing work. United Airlines, I'm super excited about, you know, the first brand campaign we launched for them in 10 years. And what they're doing as clients and pushing boundaries as an airline, and really fearless when it comes to their marketing. The Super Bowl work we did this year, kind of talking to the local markets and all the teams that weren't in it, I thought was amazing and really stood out as a way to kind of approach the Super Bowl differently when it's seen as such a mass medium and going really specific. And then I would shout out our New York office for even Smirnoff work they did, or Cheerios Good Goes Round. I feel like that work was everywhere and followed you everywhere and put Cheerios back really into the mouths of a new generation when it was not seen as a healthy food anymore. And then Amsterdam, the Benetton Unhate work they did, where there was zero media buy. It used world leaders, and it, you know, first ever cease and desist for this company from the White House and the Vatican, which was an experience, but it put Benetton back in the cultural conversation in a way that I don't think they had been in a while. And I think it also brought to the conversation of the world what the world needs is connection and love, which kind of sounds like what the world needs now.
Absolutely. And how do you, as an agency, balance your value alignment with that of the clients?
It's a good question. We start with just what do the clients want to achieve? Who are they? When we meet in a, whether it's a creds meeting or a tissue session, we look at it as they're interviewing us as much as we are them. And I think it's why you keep hearing me say the word ambitious. I think if a client is ambitious, we're excited. And I feel like the best work often comes from the truth of the brand. And if the brand doesn't have a legit grounding and value base, and those marketers don't see it and believe it, it's going to be really hard for us to do great work with them. And so that usually helps us weed it out, to be honest. But I think every company has a past. And most companies you can, you know, unravel and look into it. It's about where they are now, what they're doing and what they mean going forward. You know, with that said, are there some categories that we don't work in and we probably never will? Absolutely. Just based on our values and who we are.
And on a personal traits and competencies, what do you consider the most crucial to your career advancement?
That's a good question. I really think it's a relentless optimism, to be honest, which I think I've been at this company long enough that sometimes my values and the company values blur. But it's just a relentless belief that in every challenge, there's an opportunity in it somewhere. You just have to find what it is. It does not mean positivity, where I ignore what's hard and what's wrong. I actually want to hear all of that so that we can figure out a way forward. But kind of refusing to fail, to be honest, like refusing to see that there's an opportunity for the company, for the people, for our clients, for our partners, whoever it might be, and everything that comes at us.
And I think what you shared early on, the mentality you adapted early on in your career at 72 Sunny of assuming good intent and trying to figure out the problems as opposed to pointing the fingers at where the problem lies, I think that probably helped shape your career and your positive attitude as well. Would you say that's true?
I think so. And, you know I have the privilege to show up as a white woman and assume best intentions in a lot of ways. And so I acknowledge that. But I think just believing everyone's trying to do their job inside the company and wants to do a good job. And so if there's tension, let's just figure out why it's there instead of talking about it over here. Nothing frustrates me more than just when you get in a room and people are just complaining, or even, you know, 72 and Sunny was originally born from, as Matt joined and John and Glenn and Greg and Robert, is to go against the sarcasm that can infiltrate our system. That doesn't help solve problems. Everyone needs to vent. My husband gets his fair share of it from me because I try to, it's not productive time when we're together in a company meeting, an agency meeting, a client meeting to do that, or even an internal team meeting. We're not going to solve the problem by doing it. We have to start to just put the problems out there and try and figure out what to do versus just venting about it.
And what are some of the qualities or quote unquote soft skills you look for others when you're hiring them onto your leadership team?
A learner orientation is really important to me. I always, you know, experts kind of point to the past and things they've done and why they're good at it. A learner approaches things with curiosity and believing that they can learn more and be better at things. So I think that's super critical. And the ability to lift others up. I'm always interested in the success stories of people for leaders of who they've managed, kind of their coaching tree, to use the NFL analogy of like who's gone on to be head coaches that you coached. What does that look like? Because that's a sign of a leader who knows how to not do it all themselves, but empower others and build others up and isn't threatened by that.
I love that. Managing work-life balance has been a challenge in the industry, and I think it has actually resulted in some retention issues in the past. As a CEO, how do you achieve this balance, and what advice do you give to your team or to our listeners?
I think this is the number one talent challenge of our industry. I've spent countless hours digging into it. And I just keep coming back to when you're in a creative field that is very dynamic, driven by changes in business constantly, there's going to be stretches of long hours. There's going to be, we're not going to land the idea by the 2 o'clock meeting when we thought we would. We're going to be up late and there's going to be asks like that. I think it's also what feeds people sometimes who opt into this industry. And so, you know, our policy of like rest and recovery is super important. So for us, the approach has been have more days where the full office is closed, full well knowing everyone's not going to be able to take all those days. We are in the client service side of the business. Some clients are always on, but if we have more of those days, everyone's not missing out on just the 3 days we had. It's more likelihood that we'll hit more people more often and being able to take those days. And likewise, our PTO policy is not just unlimited, but also we need you to take 3 weeks and proactive planning. And we're not perfect at it, but we're setting the precedent that that's the expectation so that we start having those conversations. I can be like, Ren, I noticed you haven't taken PTO. What's your plan? Let's talk about the client we're on, the timings of it, and let's get ahead of it now. You need that time because if you're not showing up with a full cup, you can't do this job. And the things we ask creatively, strategically, and beyond of our people. So I think it's really important.
I love that approach of having at least a minimum, even though you have an unlimited PTO. Is that the responsibility of the managers to communicate and to basically nurture, or does that fall on the HR or the talent team?
It's a little bit of both, and on the person, to be honest. I do think people have to learn how to opt out. This is a performance culture across the board in this industry, and it can feed you and you just want to keep going. But you have to know when you're about to hit the wall, because if you wait until you do, it creates a lot more disruption and it makes it a lot harder for you and for everyone else. And so I think it's really equally weighted on everyone. Now, does our talent team track it? Absolutely. Should managers proactively have the conversation? Yes. Should employees be accountable for their own rest and recovery? Yes.
I agree with you. I think there's definitely an ownership that employees have to have on making sure that they're balancing their schedule, especially if it's in an environment where that is encouraged and supported.
Yeah. And we have to talk about it, right? Constantly. And I think it's been a little harder out of the office, but when I was in, I made a point to be like, I'm leaving at 3:00. Like, I'm walking out the door. I'm going to pick up my kids today, and not shy about why I'm leaving. Or I have a doctor's appointment. Healthcare is important. Self-care. And have those conversations. I hear the, rumblings of I have to stay in my seat until my boss leaves at other, corporations and things like that. And we have to constantly disrupt that.
For those aiming for leadership roles within the ad world, what do you think they should focus on the most as they're growing their career? I know that curiosity is important to you. What do you think they should be curious about? What questions should they ask both to themselves and to those around them to further advance their career?
Understand how agencies make money. It sounds basic, but I am constantly surprised at people I've met outside of the company and even in our company that don't understand that model and how it works and how best to do it. And then also understand, what part of the business is most interesting to them, because there are so many ways to be in this business and how those companies make money and what's important and what's going to excite you to help build and do with the company. It matters, right? For me, creativity is a passion. Client business and marketing and results is a passion. So that works really well together. But then I have to understand, how does 72 and Sunny exist to do that? How do we continue to understand the business dynamics of what a healthy business looks like, what the cycles are, how to think about it, and where we are in that in 2024? Because it is a very, like many industries, it's pretty cyclical with just a little tweak here and there.
And what do you hope for the next 20 years at 72 and Sunny? What's the vision?
I hope 72 and Sunny continues to be this amazing platform for personal growth and creative self-expression. I hope that there's people that I hired 15 years ago are running this thing in the future and other parts of the world beyond where we are today, and that we're continuing to put the power of creativity at the highest level and the highest impact. Now, I think that'll have more tech involved, but I think it'll still have incredible humans who are treating each other kindly and showing that you can have a positive impact on the world, even in advertising.
And as we wrap up, could you share a piece of leadership advice that has been a guiding pillar for you that you would like to pass on to our listeners?
Sure. Matt Jarvis said to me, I think it was in 2008, who was the CEO before me. We had lost two of our biggest clients within a week based on the recession and other things going on. And I was trying to figure out what we were going to do. And then he looked at me and he said, "Oh, Evan, you still think we all know what we're doing?" And I just kind of looked at him dumbfounded. He's like, "None of us know what we're doing. None of us have done this before. Remember that. Some of us have more reps, but every situation's different. None of us know what we're doing." And I don't know if it was imposter syndrome meets youngest child, whatever it was, but I just constantly felt like, oh, they know. They must know. They're in that role. And it just really opened the world to me in a different, from a different perspective. And I think as a leader and walking into rooms where you're not the most senior person, realizing that everyone's just trying to figure this out and your idea is as good as anyone else's and your voice is worth being heard is super important.
I love that. Thank you so much, Evan, and congratulations on your 20th anniversary.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.